Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Girl Records. This is an episode 16 months in the making. My name is Hannah Darkling. This is episode 2 of what I had called Girl on the Move, because I had just moved interstate. That is now 2 years old. That's that fact. We've literally today, sometime, pretty much 2 years on the diddly-ot. So I don't really think I'm on the move anymore. And in fact, I've kind of done nothing except sit on my couch for 2 whole years. I did put out the first episode, as I said, 16 months ago. Then I recorded another one. And when I went to edit it, by the time I went to edit it, everything I said in it was a lie. So here we are again. Why am I back, you ask? There's a couple of reasons. Social media feels like it's dying, and I'm just not enjoying it. Twitter, Elon Musk has just purchased it. He's just rolled out the blue check that you can just buy. That's a whole thing. I already sort of wasn't on Instagram. I kind of got over that. I didn't find it interesting or exciting. I've been on TikTok a lot in the last 16 months. I succumbed. I started posting my face a lot. Had a few videos go semi-viral, did not enjoy the attention. Part of the problem of the TikTok algorithm is that it shows you and your videos to the people who comment the most. And who comments the most? The people who disagree with you. So that was fun while it lasted. Not stressful at all. And then I got off TikTok. I think I got off TikTok for like 6 or 8 weeks. And then I got back on it just to see what it was like. And then, holy shit, it was 8 weeks later and I'd been back on it multiple hours a day every day. And I'm hating it. It's not fun anymore. Before I took that short little 6 week break, I think I was enjoying it and I wanted to be on it more. Now, I don't know. I think they must have changed the algorithm. I'm not seeing the same creators that I want to, the people that I follow for a reason. I'm not being shown that content. I'm being shown a lot of crap that I just don't care about. I don't feel as though the algorithm is getting me. So that's part of why I'm back. Sorry. Again, I say it. It has been a couple of years. Could have called this thing tangents because I do just go on a bit. So I think I'm back making this podcast because I miss long form content. I'm still lonely. I did go to therapy a bit and I'm still technically in therapy. I just don't go very often because I can't afford it because it's expensive. I used to joke that this would fill the gap of therapy because therapy was too expensive. And I guess maybe that's true to an extent. I was doing a bit of therapy in the last 16 months and some bits of it went quite okay, actually. And that's the other reason. Brings us just naturally dovetails into the other reason why I'm back. And that's because, hey, everybody, I got medicated. The crowd goes wild. Yes, I got medicated for multiple mental health. Can I call them both mental health issues? Mental imperfectnesses. Neurodivergencies, are we saying that? I'm smart, I know big words, guys. So I take 2 separate medications now. I've got sort of like an 8 a.m., 8 p.m. situation going on where I take one early in the morning and it really wakes me up and gets me going and makes my brain do all the things that it should do. And then I take one at 8 p.m. that gets rid of all of the, you're gonna die about it, you know? It just kind of calms that shit down before I go to bed. I don't want to kill myself anymore. Wow. I almost cried. That felt really strong. So yeah, I mean, I never wanted to die. I just wanted to, you know, like stop everything from happening all the time ever, as I think a lot of people with sort of suicidal ideation can understand. We're getting deep real soon. And maybe that's part of it. Because this podcast, if you haven't realize this by now, if you've somehow stumbled upon this and you've stuck up till now and you didn't know who I was before this moment, hi, welcome. It is just gonna be me. It's just gonna be me. And if that's not for you, I understand, because I'm always with just me. And some days, less now that I'm medicated, but still, some days it is like, God, could we get some supporting characters up in this? Because there are only so many words that I can put in different orders until I just cycle around back to the beginning again. Like, you pull my string, I only have 751 individual sentences that I can say. Because at that point, it's like, you know, people can only think of a finite number of different things. So, hello, we are back. The point of the episode, the lost episode that I recorded and went to rewatch and edit, and by then things were different because in between the record and the edit was a few months. I will be honest, I was having trouble completing tasks because those HDs, baby, got 80 of them, hence the 8 a.m. pill. Now I'm hoping that that time frame will be shorter. But it was the podcast I recorded and lost, or will just give up on, and am now sort of semi-re-recording with a bit of extra, you know, 16-month spice sprinkled on, was all about health and finding a doctor when you move interstate and how that process goes. And part of the reason why, when I recorded it, I was like, hey, everybody, went to a few different doctors. They sucked. Here are some horror stories about bad doctors. But then I found a good doctor and she's amazing. By the time I went to edit it and post it on the internet, she was no longer my doctor. So I didn't really want to put out into the world, here's the story of me finding a great doctor. Don't worry, everyone, you can do it too. As if this is some sort of life advice podcast and not just me talking shit. She had gone to have a baby. And so I didn't see her for over a year. But then, I don't know, a few months ago, I was just like, this is fucked. I can't not have a doctor. Yes, she was amazing. There have to be other amazing doctors out there. The issue with that, though, is that they don't all bulk bill. And I'm sure if you are an Australian person who has been engaging in the GP portion, the medical center portion of the health system at any point in the last couple of years, you will also have noticed, like I have, that the amount of clinics that bulk bill is getting less and less. And even the ones that do, they're like, we bulk bill. And then you go and they're like, you got a seniors card? You can't, we don't do it for you though. So that's been an interesting journey. But I was like, look, at this point, I had admitted to myself my anxieties. I had admitted to myself that my depression and bipolar mood disorder was out of control. Well, not out of control, but just like untenable. I was so sad. And it wasn't this intense grief of moving or working through trauma that I knew would come to an end. It was kind of the everydayness of bipolar. And it was unsustainable for me to be that sad all the time. So I was like, I got to find a doctor. So I started looking around for bulk bill medical clinics. I couldn't find any. It was very stressful. And then, hey, guess what? Happy ending. My doctor came back from maternity leave. She was working at a different clinic though. And so when I found my doctor again and I walked in to this new clinic that she was working at, which is like 45 minutes away from my old clinic, or maybe less of a drive, but it's certainly from, you know, central Melbourne, outer suburbs of Melbourne City to like what I think was considered regional. And when we're thinking about that, I'm thinking about during the lockdowns and the like iron curtain, you know, whatever it was, the iron ring around Melbourne. I think it's outside of that. So she was like surprised to see me. And I was like, this is one of the few bulk bill clinics. And B, of course, the instant I saw her name as one of the options for doctors, because I don't just look at the clinic, I also look at the doctor. I think that's really important. I generally don't want to be treated by men necessarily. It's not a 100% blanket rule, but it's just kind of like a comfortability thing. And I tend to, like, if they have photos, look at photos. Yeah, and just kind of read the little blurbs. They usually do like a little bio about themselves, like a little dating profile, like, oh, so-and-so has a specialty in aged care, or so-and-so has a specialty in women's health, blah, blah, blah. And in their spare time, they like to pot plants and hang out with their three kids and two dogs. So I read the little dating bios of the doctors all the time, because even if I find a good bulk bill clinic, it doesn't mean the doctors are going to be appropriate for me and my care and just generally feeling comfortable with them. But yes, obviously I saw her name and didn't even read her bio and just recognized her and went and had an appointment. And because of that, a few months ago, We had further discussions about just other health things, just general stuff like, you know, rashes and warts, and I've got them all. I'm fucking disgusting. Do you know that having a corporeal form is one of the worst things that you can do as an entity? Don't do it. Don't have physical extremities. They have things that grow on them that shouldn't be there, and then you have to go to a doctor who burns them off. Disgusting. But aside from that, I went and I was like, I'm sad and anxious and crying a lot. She was like, did you want that medication I prescribed you a year and a half ago and that you paid for at the pharmacy and is now expired and is in your cupboard at home? Do you want me to give you another script for that? And I was like, yes, indeedy do. So we diddy did. And now I have that medication. And also through that process, was it through her? It's unclear. This is the only sticking point I have with her. I at one point brought to her, hi, here's somebody who might assess me for ADHD. And she was like, oh, that doesn't look good, or that's not going to work out, or something, something, something. She had a reason why it wasn't going to work out. And then like a month later, I went back and she was like, I found someone who might assess you for ADHD. And it was the same woman. So anyway, I got assessed, I got medicated, went through that process, took a medication that was bad, and now I'm on one that is good. So I feel better, and I'm so glad that I found that doctor again. And I think the initial like episode that I recorded, which was like, hey, sometimes you got to go through a few experiences with some bad doctors, but then you'll find one that fits with you. But I think the truth of it is just I'm very, very lucky that she was available, that she's similar in age, and I think she has a similar experience with her mother. I don't know if that's true, but just when I say some things offhand, she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, so you get it. I'm lucky that she's a good doctor, and I'm lucky that she had space for a new patient, because a lot of them don't have space for a new patient. And so it's impossible for me, and I'm kind of realizing this as well. This was my struggle with coming back to making this Girl on the Move, which was supposed to be like in real time tellings of how I was struggling and succeeding with moving into state. And one of those, getting a new doctor. The fact of the matter is I have no advice for that. And to think that I could sit down here or anywhere or wherever I was going to plan to record it each week, month, I don't know, event that happened and say, not only here's what happened to me and here's my experience, but also, and here's some advice that you can take away from it. What hubris of me to think that anything that happens in my life or in the world is because I am successful at it, because of choices that I am making and control that I have over my life. And now I'm not saying that the universe is totally random and you have no control over anything and just whatever happens, happens. That's not what I'm saying, but I do think that there is too much else at play for, in a lot of situations, for me to come back here and come out with this resolution, this like tidbit, this, I don't know, palatable sentence about what you can do to make your life better when it comes to blank. And this episode, you know, was going to be finding a doctor. And I think part of the answer is be lucky. I think part of the answer is be white. I think part of the answer is be middle class. And I recognize that I have a lot of privilege in those spaces and that I am able to access that medical care in a way that a lot of other people wouldn't be able to even if they just showed up in clothes dirtier than mine. You know what I mean? That so many people, including medical professionals, all of us, make assumptions about each other based on what we look like. And I think I'm just very lucky that I hold myself in a certain way and I speak a certain way and I was taught certain things and I look a certain way. And there's a financial aspect to it too, that having access is not just about how you are treated at the door, it's about having the money as well. And, you know, I joked at the beginning and I joke a lot about like, oh, I'm doing this podcast because it's cheaper than therapy. Well, therapy is so expensive. But I'm at a point where I can't go to therapy more than once a month. I need it more than once a month. I have a lot going on. Yes, I'm medicated. Yes, I can feel joy again. But it also means I'm feeling a lot of things again that I was repressing. I'm completing a lot of tasks. I'm grieving the time that I spent living my life on hard mode because I wasn't able to do anything or, you know, like fulfill my potential. Like, I was a smart kid. I was a smart teenager. I was a smart young adult. I've been a smart adult and I still didn't accomplish anything amazing. And I'm still, you know, I would not say financially solvent, despite other people who had the same start in life as me doing much, much better. And it's because their brain was not fighting a war against them every time they tried to do anything. So I think, you know, going to therapy and grieving that through that process is really important. But I don't have the money to go that often. So yeah, there's sort of like, I am aware of both. I've got a tiny, tiny bit of a taste of what it's like to not have that financial access. But it does, like, it's, I don't know, there's just something about, like, it's, I don't know. Okay. I feel a certain way. Clearly, I feel a certain way about all of that. And I'm, like, struggling with a lot of it. And I'm doing this thing, and I just became aware of it, where I'm, like, pre-defending what I think the negative comments are going to say. And I actually hate doing that. And I started doing that a lot more because on TikTok, as I said earlier, they're the only comments, they're not the only comments I'm getting. Widely, when a video goes semi-viral, it ends up on, like, quote unquote, the wrong side of TikTok, which just means that the people who are commenting are the people that disagree with you. So TikTok thinks of that as engagement and shows it to more people who disagree with you. And so then I started making these videos, you know, 30-second, 60-second videos. And I would think, what's someone going to say about this? What's the negative thing someone is going to perceive about me based on what I say in this video? And I want to be sort of off the cuff and authentic. But at the same time, when I do that and I post that, people take everything you say in bad faith. And if you have half a slip of the tongue, if you don't quite say a phrase correctly, people get frustrated because you're, like, spreading misinformation or whatever. Not that I've really ever been accused of that. But this feeling on the internet of everybody has to be pristine and perfect at all times or else you will get lambasted, I'm not interested in that. I absolutely hate the way that it's made me change my content because I don't want to be, like, preemptively being like, oh, and I'm so sorry that, especially when I'm claiming for this to be, like, advice podcast. It's not. I think we've all realized lies. I think I've just realized, or over the last 16 months, realized that it's not ever going to be an advice podcast. I probably, everybody else already knew that, but this is me officially saying it out loud. It's just going to be talking about my experiences. And if you find any of that useful or relevant, great. And if you don't, then that's also fine. And we just don't have the same interests, worldview, life experiences, whatever. And I think it is important in that space for me to be saying, hey, all these things. But for me to then have to turn around and be like, and I'm so sorry, because I, like, have this perception that I'm going to get hate comments about it just because TikTok is the worst. I don't think I'm really interested in that being a part of the content that I make. And then on top of that as well, I recently saw a video by Bo Burnham. And he was basically saying that these social media companies, because they have gone public and gone to shareholders, they are beholden to those shareholders to constantly have growth. And the only way that they can have growth is to take your time, take your attention, so that they can sell you existing on that platform to advertisers / your data to advertisers. And the colonization of people's attention spans and the colonization of people's time is obviously inherently capitalistic, but sucks and is bad, you know? And we have to be aware of that. And I think it was something that I kind of had felt in my body and, like, knew in my bones, but hadn't ever tried to put words to. And I think if I had tried to put words to it, I would never, ever have said it as eloquently as Bo Burnham could have, because he is very intelligent, especially about online culture and the internet. And so that's something I've been feeling, which is I'm on TikTok all the time. I feel like I can't get off. I'm addicted. But if I'm not on TikTok, then I'm clicking on Twitter, then I'm going to YouTube, which I feel like is a slightly different beast, but maybe not. And I'm constantly not wasting my time, because I think there's value sometimes in it, but I've certainly been spending more of my time than I personally feel is healthy for me and that I personally want for my life on social media and on the internet in general. And I don't want to contribute to that by creating these like bite-sized, snarky little like, lol, do you prefer pineapple on pizza or not videos on TikTok, which is sort of the content I was making. Like, lol, I moved to Melbourne and they have Ritz instead of Jats. Which one tastes better? Because the recipe's different. Lol, lol, lol. And then you start a war between Sydney Siders and Melbourneites in the comments. And that's how you get engagement. And I hated that. I don't want to make that type of content. That's a waste of all of our time. And I don't need to see any more Tumblr posts, which are a download of a TikTok of somebody reading a tweet, which is a reimagined thought of a Reddit post that happened. I don't need any more of that content. And that seems to be all I'm seeing on all platforms is like rehashed ideas. And sometimes in the same day, I'll see a TikTok and a tweet made by two separate people that are so similar in thought. And not just that, but also just the construction of the sentence and the keywords that are used, that you know that one of them saw the other one and then decided to make content kind of like not, well, yes, stealing the idea, quote unquote, but like being also inspired by the idea. I don't need to see both the tweet and the TikTok of the same concept, which is like, lol, men with thigh tattoos are the hottest. Like, okay, that adds absolutely nothing to my life. And I don't want to add to that on TikTok. I'm really like disillusioned, as is become quite obvious with posting short form content on the internet. And I also would like to spend more time with my thoughts, which is what I'm doing right now. In this current moment, you are listening to me possibly and feeling less alone. I am currently alone. And I've said that before in podcasts in kind of like a sad way. Like, guys, I'm alone when I make this podcast. Please comment and like and subscribe. Which you should do all of those things. But in this moment, I'm not saying like, oh, I'm alone when I record this, as if that's a sad thing. I think it's something that I should be doing more time doing. I think it's something... Sorry, that sentence went in sort of a roundabout way that wasn't good. I think spending more time with my thoughts is going to be valuable for me. When I only go to therapy once a month, I just get in there and I'm like, blah, 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 this is everything that's happened to me. This is all the complaints that I have. And then this happened and this happened. And I know this is connected to my childhood, but I still feel bad about it. And how do I blah, 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 blah. And then it's been 45 minutes. And my therapist is like, great, we have 4.5 minutes until I have to kick you out. So what do you want me to do about it? And the answer is nothing. Sometimes I just need to say things out loud. That did happen to me at work, actually. I was talking to somebody else at work. I facilitate workshops for children at a museum. And we were talking about like the runtime of the workshop. Because you usually have to do like a talk, then do an activity, and then finish up, do a reflection, blah, blah, blah. And the kids have to leave by a certain time to get on the bus. So why am I explaining why a workshop with kids would have a runtime? Do I think that everybody listening is an idiot? Apparently, for a split second, I freaking did. And then I pulled myself back and I said, no, Hannah, I'm not calling you out. I'm calling you in, girl. And not everybody needs to be told why something needs a run sheet. And probably the only people who need to be told that might be kids. And maybe that's why I said it, because I work with kids now all the time. And I have to think about just explaining things to everybody all the time. Things that I perceive as very simple. Anyway, sorry if that was patronizing for me to explain to you why something needs a run sheet, but I was saying to one of my colleagues, I was like, and then this will happen, and then this will happen. Oh yeah, and then this, and then this. And he turned to me and he goes, hey Hannah, do you ever think that sometimes you're just saying things out loud because you need to say them out loud? And I did laugh and I was like, well, yeah, obviously. Like, I'm not saying this for your benefit. You know it. I'm saying it out loud for my benefit, but I can't just do it in my head. I need you to go, yeah, at the end of it. So I have to say it out loud to someone so they can validate what I've said and be like, yes, those timings are correct. So I think this is part of that process. It's like I'm spending time alone with my thoughts, but also I'm saying them out loud because I do need someone else to be like, yeah, that's correct. Because of trauma. Yeah. So that's why we went away. That's why I went away for many, many months. And that is why I am back recording this one. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't really have any plan for the structure of the episodes of Girl on the Move. I'm not really interested in making content about making content, which, let's be honest, this whole thing has been from the beginning. It's like, why did I go away? How do I feel about social media? How do I feel about making a podcast? Here's my engagement with content on the internet. Although to take a 16-month gap from a podcast, I think I do owe people an explanation, even if those people are like three people who care. I think those people are owed an explanation. I think it's important for me to say it out loud, regardless. But I'm not interested in making content about making content. I do just want to talk about like, yeah, I was trying to find a doctor and here are some funny horror stories. Or, oh my gosh, I started a new job and isn't making friends at a new job weird and hard. Ha ha. I still do want it to be about those like moving things. Because I also feel that I haven't really done any of that stuff since I've moved. I've been here for 2 years now. And for the first year, we were kind of like in and out of lockdowns, you know, in and out of lockdowns. I ain't got a job now. See, for you, this is just a good time. But for me, this is my whole life. Yeah. So I think that's an excuse for year one. But from last November to now, I don't really know if I have a good excuse as to why I haven't done more. I certainly know that the start of the year was rough emotionally because I went away for Christmas. I think this needs to be a whole other podcast episode, this story. I went away for Christmas to see my family, which was stressful because as much as I love my family, it is stressful. We aren't great at being a family. While we love each other, that's not a being a family skill. I drove from Melbourne to Sydney to Queensland. And on the way back, I picked up a friend just outside of Sydney. And we came back to Melbourne. And then she stayed on my couch for a month. And so that was hard. And I think I was expecting to use January. And I'd had taken like a week and a half off at the beginning of January. I think I was expecting to use that time to recover from the family Christmas. And then that didn't happen. And at the end of January, when my friend was no longer staying on my couch, I was hysterical when she left. And I could not figure out why I was so emotionally tied up in what is her choice for her life. And probably, again, that is a long story that probably needs like a whole podcast because there's definitely more details to it. And I would love to attempt to tell it in a respectful way. But then February, I was just back at work and I don't know if I was busy or what was happening, or I'm still bad at dealing with my emotions. I'm still bad at feeling them in my body. At that point, I still wasn't medicated. I wasn't in therapy. And so I think I spent like February, March, maybe even April, really struggling. And I started to feel as though I was getting better in like maybe the end of April or May. And then in June, my parents came to visit. And it was literally like it had reopened the Christmas stuff all over again. All of the, we're not great at communicating. All of the, we love each other, but we say things that hurt each other. All of that just happened more. So then it must have been in like after my parents left, like late June, early July, that I was like, I'm still dealing with stuff from Christmas, which actually was stuff that I was dealing with from when I lived with my mum during the 2020 lockdown in Sydney, which was me dealing with stuff from my childhood. Like I had then been living alone and in Melbourne for like a year and a half. And I was like, I did my crying. I did my anxiety. I still feel like crap. I'm still not dealing with my trauma. There's only so many TikToks that you can watch about the Gabor Mate book that you have to read. I bought the book. It's on the bookshelf. I haven't read it. So there's only so many books that you can buy about trauma and healing before it's just like, hey, this is actually a two-person game. I need another person to be helping me with this and to be like checking me on my shit. And at a certain point, trying to sit down and journal every morning about my emotions and how sad I am and how nothing's getting better and how I'm doing my best. That became for me, and I'm not saying it is for everybody, for some people it's very helpful, but for me, I think it became an exercise in narcissism. Like, I don't need to sit down and write down about my emotions every day, especially when they're negative and it's not helpful. I don't know, it's like practicing the piano with your feet and then being like, why am I not getting better at playing the piano? Because you're playing them with your feet, you numpty. You need to be using your hands, and what you have to do is go to a piano teacher who's going to say, hey, here's a suggestion, use your fingers to play that piano. And that's what I was doing. It was like I was trying to get myself better from my mental health stuff and from my trauma stuff by just like writing in this journal about how sad I was all the time. Hey, that's not helpful. You need a professional to help you. And that's, you know, what a therapist is, or psychologist, or whatever they... I got a therapist. It wasn't good. I feel like that's a whole portion of it too. And a helicopter. It's so funny because when I was in Sydney and I was doing Girl Inside during the 2020 lockdown, 11 episodes available on the YouTube channel and on Spotify and on anchor.fm. The busy street that I live next to and the fact that we were under a flight path, I was like, and when I move, that won't be an issue. I moved next to a motorway and I'm in a flight path. Oh, well, it's fine. I personally don't mind it day to day for my life. It's just annoying when I sit down to record a podcast, the twice that I've done it since I moved here. Three times, actually. This is the third. I can't rehash that again. I can't rehash the lost podcast again. I've mentioned it too many times. So I don't really know where I left, what that all means. But my point was trying to be, and I was trying to express that I don't feel as though I've done a lot of the move to a new city stuff yet, because a lot of the first year I was very sad and depressed and anxious in like a very immediate trauma way. And then the beginning, I don't know, three quarters, I guess, of 2022, I was depressed and anxious in sort of just a I have mental health issues kind of way. And I was trying to address that, but that process is quite slow. And I was very much struggling, and I only had energy for the things I had to do. And also I didn't have money for too many things. And I would find that I would sign up for a course and then I wouldn't go because I was overwhelmed and stressed. And so I was wasting money trying to engage in building a community here. And so then I became kind of trigger shy with trying to book into courses and classes that cost money because I wasn't going to go. I did a pottery course. That was good. I wouldn't say that I have built a new, good foundation of friends. Most of the people that I know in Melbourne are people that I knew before I moved here. And that's wonderful. And they're great, lovely friends. But that is not part of the puzzle of moving to a new city and becoming engaged in life in the new city. So there's a lot of the moving to a new city stuff that I haven't done that I am excited to try. And I think it's really depressing for me to realize that I don't want to do things just for myself. I won't do the go join a club or go try to make new friends or where are the best places to hike. I don't do things for myself. I'm doing them so that I can either impress people with them, so people are like, oh my gosh, you're so interesting and cool, Hannah. Or so that I can then make content online about it. That feels depressing to me, that the only reason I would do something is so that I can tell somebody else about it and like impress them. I'm having what I would call a moment, because that doesn't feel great. And that's not news to me. I have a I have a poster on my wall, which is like, here are the reasons why you like to do things and ways that you can like conceptualize things in your head. So to force you to engage with the things that you want to do, but have trouble doing. And I made this poster for myself before I knew I had ADHD and before I was medicated, but I still think it's quite relevant. It is actually one of those like personality quizzes. I think it's called the four temperaments. That's something else. Anyway, it's some personality quiz that you can take online for free. And I don't remember what it is. And if I do remember before I post this episode, I'll put it in the episode notes. But it told me that I was a rebel and I don't do things when other people tell me to do them. But also, I won't do things when I tell myself to do them. So the minute I set myself a goal, my brain goes, get effed. And even though I want to do it, I won't, because that like internal motivation is broken. And that gave me some suggestions as to how I could force myself to engage with the tasks that I actually want to do. And even though now I am medicated for ADHD, I do still think it's helpful. And one of them is like, how does this make you unique and original and set you apart? And how does this make it like an anecdote that you can tell people and impress them with? And that does feel like maybe an ugly part of myself, but it's also the truth. And I'm sure there are other people out there that also want that. Is it not to be super... I'm on Twitter and TikTok all the time about it, but is it a trauma response to think that wanting any attention is inherently bad and unhealthy? Because I think probably it is human nature to want attention, and I think it's quite normal to want other people to like you. But when I say it out loud, I feel like guilty or like someone's going to get angry at me. And I think that that's probably related to a personal issue. But then I flip into that thing that I was talking about before of like, oh my God, I have to pre-defend myself because the comments on the internet are going to be so scathing that I have to like preemptively, but I don't mean it like that, but I don't mean it like that, to like get ahead of who? First name, set of numbers, anime icon, nobody on the internet who's going to say something mean. Okay. Love a good block of somebody on the internet. Sometimes wish I could just do it with the bullshit in my own brain. Delete, comment, block. Don't want that inside there anymore. Thank you. One of the reasons why I would do things, anything, one of the things that would motivate me to actually get out into the world and do the things that I want to do, like join clubs, like, I don't know, I don't leave my house. I go to work, I come home, I sit on the couch, I watch my Netflix. That's all I do. I've now started trying to be a person who bakes bread. I don't know how long that will last. I've currently baked 3 loaves over 2.5 weeks. I've just freshly before recording this pulled one out of the oven and I can smell it and it does smell good. I have a feeling it's slightly overworked when I was kneading it. And I also have a feeling it might be slightly underbaked. But you never know. You never know. I might cut it open. It might be the perfect loaf. Maybe I could believe in myself once in a while. So I think, what was my fucking point? Hannah, stop going on tangents. I'm going to do things. I'm recording this podcast and I have to have something interesting to say next week as a reason to do things. And I don't know if that's going to work out well, because as I said, sometimes when I tell myself to do a thing and I make it like official in my brain responds by going, absolutely fucking not. How dare you expect anything from me ever? And I will spit on your grave. I will spit on it. So it is possible that by saying that out loud and making a declarative statement of it, I've just shot myself in the foot. And in that case, let's hobble along together in this thing called life and just try to do anything that we can so we're not just sitting at home being sad and depressed. And so that even if it isn't like an advice podcast, maybe I'll tell my stories and maybe you'll be like, yeah, okay, fair. And maybe you'll find your own advice from it, or maybe you'll just get a laugh at me being bad at existing, or maybe we'll both be surprised and impressed in the moments when I do succeed at things. So I guess we'll see. So hopefully that gives a bit of explanation of like where I've been, what I've been doing, how I plan to engage with this podcast in the future, and how much I don't want it to be a podcast talking about how I make content. It's just this episode but it seems to be all I can talk about because it's all that I do is go online. Which makes it really hard to joke with people at work because none of them are as online as I am. And let me tell you, there are some things that when you quote from online, they're like, oh, that's so funny or so original. And you have to be like, no, I took that from a tweet. And if you're online, you kind of know that that's a tweet and you would know that I'm not plagiarizing, you know, I'm quoting from. But they don't know that I'm quoting from. So then they're like, what do you mean you stole a joke from a tweet? Or you say something from online and they're like, what? That's so weird. What does that even mean? And you're like, I can't get into this right now. I can't even begin. I don't have time to explain to you the annals of internet meme lore. There's too many of them. There's so many annals. So yes, it is hard to be very online and try to make friends in the real world. And I think that's part of why I got on TikTok, because I was like, oh, then I can make friends with online people. And that kind of didn't happen. And I feel a bit sad about that. And when you follow someone and they follow you back on TikTok, it comes up with like a little thing that says like friend. It should just say the word mutual. Because like I'm fine with being like moots with somebody. But when it says friend, something happens in my brain. And I'm not friends with those people. I'm not, sorry if that sounds harsh. But we just aren't friends. We've sometimes commented on each other's videos, but we've never actually spoken to each other. And that is sad and bad and weird. And so my brain gets all like about it. I'm legally obligated to let you know. You can't see, but right off outside of frame, somebody is holding a gun at my head. I shouldn't joke about that. I've been in a shooting. I know that's bad. Okay. We're sitting up straight. Here's the pitch. I'm being serious now. There's no gun here. Nobody's putting a gun to my head. We're not joking about that anymore. I am legally obligated to tell you that this podcast is brought to you by a website called bangersandmash.site. Does that mean I want you to go to that website? Fuck no. I haven't engaged with that website in even longer than I haven't engaged with this podcast. This podcast, which is a subsidiary of bangersandmash.site. Both of these things are created exclusively by me. I'm the only person who does anything to do with this podcast or that website. It's a bad website. And yet I have inextricably linked them together. And so now I have to say that at the end of each episode. And I don't want you to look at it because I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of it. And I think I'm ashamed of it because the only reason that website exists is to connect with other people, to provide content for other people, articles, videos, never made a video for it, podcasts, this is the only one that exists, to create content for people to consume and nobody consumes it. And I don't know what to do about that, both emotionally and also just in a very literal sense of like marketing it online. But also I don't want to market it because I don't want people to go to it because it's bad still. I wrote a few kind of like newsletter posty things on my website, hannahdarkling.com, just about like life over the past few months. One of my friend had a baby and I wrote something about the fact that the first color children see is red. Which I didn't know until I went to the baby shower, and you have to do one of those baby shower games with lots of baby shower quiz questions. So yeah, if you want more of my stuff, there's some stuff there. But it's fine if you don't. And then please don't go to the website that this podcast is paid for by. And by paid for by, I mean, it's just me. It's my time and money that I'm either investing in that website or this podcast or both. And so that's the kind of like sponsorship element of it, brought to you by element of it. Just to be totally transparent, everything that I do it for you. No, everything that I do alone. That's so intense. That's a lie. Every content that I make online, I make alone. I don't feel good about that. Feels real bad. Feels kind of lonely. Feels like I don't know what direction I should go in. And there's no like skipper here to be like, hey, captain, you've gone off course just a scooch. We're hitting an iceberg. Everyone's drowning. No one's here to let me know those things. So it does feel a bit insane and like cabin fevery, you know, like, what's going on? So I think that's where we're at in terms of me creating content online. And I guess I don't really have anything else left to say except you're a babe. Thanks. The Girl Records is brought to you by bangersandmash.site. Head over to see what literal growing pains look like and join us in the forum to get some conversations started. You can follow us on socials at _bangersmag, or you can follow me, Hannah Darkling, at HJDarkling. Don't worry, all of the links for these will be in the description below. Give us a like if you enjoyed this episode and be sure to share it with a friend who's trying to get their shit together in the very specific way I discussed. Thanks for listening, and don't forget, you're a babe. Because it's at that point, you know, people can only think of